I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your wages are being garnished. We can stop that now. It's hard enough to pay your bills when things are good, let alone when a big chunk of your take-home pay is gone before you even get your check. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné, and I can stop the garnishment and get the creditors off your back immediately, often the same day as our consultation. Both Chapter 7 and 13 provide bankruptcy relief, but choosing the right chapter is crucial. In a free consultation, we can create a plan to get your finances back under your control. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at choosetherightchapter.com. That's choosetherightchapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. I need to have a hard conversation with you about your feet. Your feet just aren't cool. But it is a temporary situation. You go to the Rock Sock right now, or go to the Rock Shop, get the Rock Socks.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. You know what I'm talking about. Go to the Rock Sock and buy yourself some Rock Shops. All right? All right. The BJ and Biggs Rock Socks, they rock. They're pretty awesome. Go check them out. You'll see what I mean. Get them. Vicky, any update?
No.
Thanks.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, you can get yours, even though I can't get mine. Go to KISW.com.
Let's play
Beat Migs.
Listen, Roger Daltrey, sorry for all the pot in the room.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what the hell happened right there, but yeah, it's time to beat Migs. And but we can whack him instead. It's Whack It Wednesday.
Whack it.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that threw me off my game.
Whack
there.
It.
Let me see everybody do their Mr. Wacky then.
All right.
Whack it.
Let's get to our contestant today. We've got David in Fort Lewis. David, are you there?
Yes.
Excellent.
Ooh,
what's he playing for today, Steve?
Ravens playing for tickets. Check out the Mark Galloway 150 shootout that's happening at the Evergreen Speedway on May 25th. Go to KISW.com for all the details. If you want tickets, they're available now at etix.com.
All right, Steve, get out of here. For those playing at home, David will have 60 seconds to answer 10 questions. David, you can pass all you want, but you will only get 3 guesses per question. Are you ready?
Yes.
Who directed Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Star Trek Into Darkness?
Jar Jar Abrams.
Yes. What female rapper has the hit songs I Like It and Money?
Pass.
Finish the saying, kill two birds with what?
Stone.
What?
Stone.
No?
Kill two birds with one stone.
Yes. There what does go. The D stand for in the drink Sunny D?
Delicious?
No.
Pass.
A Squirtle is a type of what fictional creature?
Pokemon.
Yes. The sousaphone is more widely known as what instrument?
Tuba.
Yes. Who played Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park?
Life just finds a way. It's that one dude. Jeff Goldblum.
Yes. What is the first element on the periodic table?
Hydrogen.
Yes. How many events are there in a heptathlon?
8.
No.
6.
No.
Oh, that'd be 6. Hep is 9.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct.
Ooh, damn.
No.
All right, Darth Vader.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Well, I mean, it sounds like he's got a chance here. There's some hard questions, I think, that Steve isn't going to get.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Steve, I hope you suck.
Wow. Of course, you said that yesterday, and Steve got a perfect 10.
I know.
Said that.
I know. So, I mean, yeah.
You're kind of like a jinx there, buddy.
Is that what's up,
Steve? That's what's up.
By the way, you didn't hear it, but David hopes you suck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I hope I don't.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Steve, are you ready?
Yeah.
Who directed Star Wars, The Force Awakens, and Star Trek Into Darkness?
J.J. Abrams.
Yes. What female rapper has the hit songs I Like It and Money?
Cardi B.
Yes.
Okay.
Finish the saying, kill two birds with what?
With one scone.
No.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Yes. What does the D stand for in the drink Sunny D?
D's.
It's
a light.
Yes. Hey, Squirtle is a type of what fictional creature?
Turtle.
No.
Oh, it's a Pokemon.
Yes. The sousaphone is more widely known as what instrument?
Saxophone?
No.
Tuba.
Yes. Who played Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park?
Jeff Bridges.
No.
Crap. Chris Pratt.
No.
Wayne Knight.
No. What is the first
element? Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
Yeah. Damn it.
What is the first element on the periodic table?
Hydrogen.
Yes. How many events are there in a heptathlon?
Six.
No.
Nine.
No.
Seven.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You win 6-8.
Oh, sorry, David.
Yeah, sorry, David. I had hope for you there.
I hate you, Steve.
I love you back.
Now I'm 1-1 against you.
1-1. Someday we'll have to have the rubber game. Oh, yeah, that's a sports term.
That's right.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
Well, now you remember. Well,
I'm sure I'll forget.
Sure. The only one you missed, you did figure out. Yes, Jeff Goldblum was Dr. Ian Malcolm in Jurassic Park.
Couldn't figure it out. So I was just trying to guess whatever, hoping that my brain would turn on.
David had the same issue. He was actually quoting the movie and his lines, and then that helped him jog his memory on that. Congratulations, man. You won with 8 correct.
Yeah, that means caller number 8. You are checking out the Mark Galloway 150 shootout at Evergreen Speedway. Caller number 8, 206-421-ROCK.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got a new study. Well, since we've been talking about how Roger Daltrey got all mad at a concert goer because they're smoking weed and he's allergic, I think it's important to let you know this new study says that a lot of us are getting high at work. 16% of us high on weed at the workplace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, buddy.
We have that happen sometimes where people will call in and you ask them, hey, what are you up to? And like, I'm just smoking a joint about to go into work. And you're just thinking, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that just sounds like a great job.
There's a lot of people that work in this country. And 16% would mean there's got to be millions. And of those millions, about a quarter of them say they're high every damn day at work.
The biggest mistake we did back in when we were working at that little fast food place on the boardwalk in New York at a beach area was getting stoned sometimes before our job. Because my buddy's brother was the boss. He didn't care. He's like, as long as you don't steal money, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, he really, that was the only rule he had. So we would smoke a joint sometimes. But it's a terrible idea when you work in the food industry.
Oh, yeah, it
to
is.
To get stoned. Because he was okay with us eating food. But at one point, he finally said, look, guys, just stop eating all the mozzarella sticks. Those are those are expensive. Eat whatever else.
Yeah.
But those were the best.
Yeah, they were the best. Yeah, I can understand that. That's why that's why you wanted them. And he's like, no, that's my gold.
Right.
You can't be touching the gold, guys.
Stay away from the nuggets and the mozzarella sticks.
Damn. Yeah, a lot of people getting high, man. I mean, the majority of people in this group actually say they get high at least a few times a week. And, you know, if you think, well, yeah, that's because we've legalized weed, that is not the issue. The study found that people in states where marijuana is totally legal are actually more likely to get high at work. I should say totally illegal. So the places where marijuana is illegal, people are actually more likely to get high at work than places like here in Colorado.
Have you ever gotten stoned at work?
Never.
We should try it for Weed Week.
Yeah. Okay. I got no problem with that. I've got Sarah who can drive me home, so I'm excited about. I've never participated in any of those things because I've always been driving the bus while the rest of you have had the absinthe, the alcohol, whatever. I've always been the guy that stays and runs the ship.
I remember a long time ago, this is back when we first started. It was like one of those times where you weren't here and we still had to do the show back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
A few of us decided, we'll smoke pot before we start the show. Let's see how it goes.
Oh, boy.
Worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't much of a stoner, but I'm like, solidarity, sure, whatever, right? And I had to do the news, and I'll never forget this. Like, I maybe read two sentences, and in my head, I'm like, I've been talking way too much. I should stop. And I was just like, that's news. And it was maybe a 20-second news report. I read two sentences on the first story, panicked, and said, well, that's news. And I was done.
That's funny.
I'm like, I got to get this to wear off. And just start chugging coffee. I'm like, this is a terrible idea.
Oh, man, dude.
Yeah. Never again.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine what it would be like just because when I've been stoned, I, you know, depending on the level, it's not a fun ride to actually have to be responsible for anything.
And there have been times like where, like, at, like, you know, back in the old days of the End, like doing interviews at like the End Fests and like the concerts where it's a little bit more lax and people aren't like, you know, you don't have to be 100%. But even that was just, I'd be zoning out, not even hearing what they're saying and just giggling. And it was just stupid.
Dude, and here's the thing that's really something, because we've heard from probably one of the biggest stoners that we know, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Which is
funny because he was never a stoner until the later parts of his life.
Yeah, that's what's surprising. Who turned him onto that again?
Was it Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
At Zach and Mary Make a Porno.
That is amazing to me that's when, and Kevin swears, now, this is an interesting thing, Kevin swears that it makes him better at his job, but some of his big successes, I think, came before he started smoking weed, so it's really hard to tell whether or not, you know, Kevin, do you think you're better at your job? I don't know. But 23% of the people that do get high at work say it makes them more productive.
You know, I hear that with some people. Like, some people like working out when they're stoned because they feel that they've got more energy, but they're more focused, I guess.
I know a few people like that too, and they're like, you should try this. And I tried it, and I started my stretches, and I didn't get off the floor for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
I was just laying there. My roommate comes in. He's like, what are you doing? I was trying to work out, man.
Yeah.
I'm too stoked.
Someone says in their mid-20s, I was a chimney mason. Now we get stoned every morning before work. Another texter says, loggers get 2 420s every day.
Okay.
Another person says, yeah, I'm one of them. Not completely faded, but I do get high every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what some of these people do for a living, because I think logging, do I want to be a logger when I'm stoned? Or is that you're like, well, it's the only way to be able to be a logger? I don't know, because I know it's a grueling job.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it calms the nerves at all.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think everybody's a little bit, like, if someone's a daily stoner, they probably just are able to do whatever they do. You know, if you decide to get stoned and try logging, you know, you're not a logger and you've never done logging. Oh, it would be a terrible combination.
You sure be a gumbo?
I mean, maybe not. Who knows?
So then if you get to the point where you can operate, then is it kind of like what your body needs? Like, if you're used to it, because I remember even when we were doing ayahuasca, the shaman said that they've done it so much that they don't even see, like, the visions anymore. They just get the learnings, is what they said.
Right.
We get all the learnings without all the visions. So if your body has that kind of resistance, does that mean you need it to function? You know, that's the mean. Why, if you don't feel it, why are you doing it? You know, I mean, it's one of those weird questions I have. I don't smoke enough to know.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I don't know. I mean, I think just people just become reliant on it because they're just used to it. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like a cup of, like, in reality, do you really need it? But it's just nice to have.
Or like cigarettes. I mean, so many people really, I mean, cigarettes are great at managing your emotions. I think that's what a lot of people forget when they go, well, geez, it's, you know, it's addictive. It's like, yeah, but, you know, it also helps people deal, helps people cope. I've seen people who've quit cigarettes, and man, oh man, they are tough to be around when they don't have something else to replace that emotional suppressant that they had. And they don't know that. It's like, you know what? Maybe you ought to start smoking again. You know, yeah, you're going to die, but at least I don't have to deal with you.
Some people are texting. I just want to answer some of these questions. So we were asking about Alice in Chains because they're hearing these rumors that they're coming back to town. Are they actually playing in Seattle? And it just got announced. Alice in Chains is coming back, and they're going to be playing at the WAMU Theater.
Maybe. Oh, how about that? I saw this cool-looking video they made with some really good graphics and effects.
Yeah, WAMU on September 20th, they're going to be there. And they're just about, I don't know if they've released it just yet, but they're releasing a new music video for Rainier Fog. And once it comes out, I recommend everyone going out to see it. It's the most Northwest music video you will ever see. And it's probably going to confuse a lot of Alice in Chains fans that are not from the Seattle area. Because what they've done is they've basically done a spoof on the old Rainier beer commercials. Where you had those walking bottles of Rainier.
Really?
Beer. It's not an actual Rainier beer bottle, but it's pretty much a Rainier beer bottle.
That is cool.
And the guys in Alice in Chains are just hanging out with these bottles. it's so absurd. Again, like, if you don't know Alice in Chains and you don't know I mean, if you don't know the Northwest and bring your beer commercials, you're going to just be like, what the hell is going on? But it's really freaking funny.
So it'd be good. I don't know if you can Google and if they have it on YouTube.
It's on YouTube right now, yeah.
What about the old Rainier beer commercials?
Yeah, they are on there, yeah.
Oh, so you can do a great... You can see a side-by-side to see where the inspiration comes from.
It's fantastic, man. It's just so funny because it's just a great nod to Seattle.
Yeah, that is a cool nod to Seattle. I love that.
And tickets go on sale this Friday for the Alice in Chains show that's going to be happening. Again, at the Wamu Theater on September 20th, which will be a lot of fun.
Is somebody named Steve very happy?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. You're not absolutely happy. Absolutely. You're absolutely happy.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Man. We got to tell you about this dude. He's got over 13 million views on a video. 13 million. Why? It's all because of how he eats spaghetti. You're going to hear about his odd way of eating spaghetti at 7:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. All right, you know what? You want to get up and smile? You got to check out this video on the BJ and Migs page of KISW.com because this DC woman has posted this bad boy. By the way, it's gotten over 13 million views because, well, it's pretty funny.
It's funny, but it's just amazing what... I mean, we've witnessed it firsthand with that damn Sun Chips video getting over 11 million views. It's like the dumbest things spread virally.
This, though, illustrates men of genius. I mean, this is just how we think. And we're like, hey, you know what? Where we use things you wouldn't normally think to use in particular applications. Mm-hmm. And this guy's eating spaghetti in this video. And what he's decided is like, look, spaghetti is messy.
Yep.
How do I fix this? Hey, I usually use a pair of scissors to cut stuff. I never use it to cut food. But I will use it. So he basically is trimming his spaghetti every time he puts the fork to mouth.
Yeah, he rolls up the spaghetti. And then you know how, like, if you don't do it the old way of, like, with the spoon and kind of do that. Like, that's how I was brought up. And I always hated to do it that way. But, like, if you roll up the spaghetti, then you get all the hanging noodles. And he just swoops in with the scissors and cuts those off.
It's a great idea.
I wish I would have known to do this before when I was a kid. Because I was a kid, I would piss off my family. I would cut the spaghetti. Or I would just, like, roll it, but I would never use the spoon. Everyone in my family would get so mad. Why aren't you using the spoon? I'm like, I don't know. I just hate that sound of this fork scraping against the spoon.
Yeah.
If I had known that you could do it with scissors, that would have really pissed off my Italian family. And I would have done it in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been so awesome.
Yeah, your spaghetti scissors. And I only have these for one reason. For my spaghetti scissors.
Christmas Eve, I show up to my aunt and uncle's house, and I have my own pair of scissors. Like, why does he have his own scissors?
Yeah.
Dinner time.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah, this woman's name is Samanda, and she posted this video with the caption, quote, how to eat spaghetti. Dad is crazy. No dull moments when he's around. Here's her audio and another family member laughing at Pops as he's eating spaghetti with the scissors.
Yeah, it works.
I'm fun to have Facebook.
You know what?
My favorite part is the dad, like, huh?
Yeah, he really did. What are you doing?
You're doing what? I'm just trying to eat my spaghetti.
13 million views, but it is pretty awesome. And again, I mean, I get it. This guy is just like, why wouldn't I do this? This is a very, economical way to get the job done.
It's mess-free.
Yeah, very mess-free. And, it is weird, though, man, because I'd have to have a whole set of scissors just for that. I couldn't use them for anything else.
Oh,
because
absolutely. Your own food scissors.
It just feels, weird because you know where scissors have been everywhere. Man, staying in that junk drawer, nice.
It's the lukewarm topic of the day.
Well, this old dude's a viral sensation because, he uses scissors to eat his spaghetti. So based on this, and it doesn't have to be with food, we want to know, what offbeat thing do you do? 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999 because it's pretty weird, pretty offbeat that this guy's doing it, even though it feels like it's a genius idea. What offbeat thing do you do? 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. Your calls, your texts after the Chili's on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. So there's a dude on Facebook. He's a viral sensation. Why? Because he's a genius. He uses scissors to eat his spaghetti. No mess. Just cuts off the dangly pieces and gets to have a nice mouthful.
Dangly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says, it's funny. I have a pair of food scissors in my kitchen. I never thought to use them for spaghetti. This guy's a freaking genius.
He is.
This is a game changer. We've got kitchen scissors as well. And this is like, cool. I'm going to do this now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You know?
So you don't have those little speckles of pasta sauce on your shirt.
Exactly. I mean, this is the idea of advanced, you know, society and technology. We're not supposed to eat like they did back in the day with a spoon and all that.
And I just learned, according to one texter, went to Italy, asked for a spoon for our pasta, and I was told no. It's an American thing.
Oh.
Oh.
I've been lied to by my family all this time.
So then what do? They just do it with this. They just do it with
just with a fork.
What?
The Steve way.
The Steve. Well, you use that.
I wish I would have known that. I'd be like, I'm the only true Italian here, and flip the table. Well, yeah. I wouldn't have done all that over spaghetti, yeah. But
I wish you would.
That would be pretty awesome.
That's well, now you can tell them, you know, because you're going to go back for holidays once in a while, and you can be that guy.
That's an argument and a conversation I really don't feel like having with them, though.
Oh, I thought you were going to be that guy going, by the way, guys, let's have a conversation about how you were wrong all those years.
I feel like that would just lead to an argument that would go on for way too long over the fact whether or not we should use a spoon while we eat our spaghetti.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So how about you, man? And it doesn't have to be with food. We want to know, what offbeat thing do you do? 206-421-ROCK, text us at 77999. Let's go to AJ in Olympia. AJ, you are on the Rock.
Howdy, fellas.
Howdy, AJ. Welcome to the show. What you got for us, buddy?
When I make microwave burritos, if it's beef and bean, instead of salsa, I put barbecue sauce on them.
Ooh.
Actually sounds pretty awesome.
I don't see why that would be bad. And what kind of reaction do you get?
My wife looks at me and awkwardly, and her family does too, but it actually tastes rather good.
Yeah, there's a lot of combos out there that, you know, at some point we have them and take for granted. Like, whoever thought of putting, like, a hollandaise sauce on eggs?
Right.
You know, I don't think
monsters.
I wish they wouldn't have.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, like, I don't think I want that. And then next thing I know, okay, I guess I did want that. Yeah.
When I was a kid, I thought that ketchup on eggs was the most horrifying thing ever. And then I tried it, and it was awesome.
Oh, very
good. Scrambled eggs?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best.
People used to make fun of me back in the day for doing that.
But it looked weird. It looks very strange.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't think that is good. And then I actually tried it, and I was like, oh, wait, no, this is amazing.
Yeah, it does look like maybe an accident happened somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, maybe they didn't quite get the chicken out in time.
Oh,
jeez.
Well, that's what it let me, you know. I mean, it was, hey.
Right, we got a text. I agree with this person. It says, I'm a goalie, and Steve will probably agree. We are a very strange breed. Then again, so are hockey players in general, but I have to show up extra early to games to get all of my gear planned out exactly the same way before I get dressed. And he sent a link of just the weirdest rituals and superstitions with goalies, and it's true. Goalies, I feel like I'm not overly superstitious with my goalie stuff, but I do have a certain way of putting all my gear on, and if I don't put it on that way, everything feels wrong.
Oh, so if you don't put the thing on at the right time.
Yeah, like even just like the type of thing that like holds up the socks, I got to put those on before I put my cup on. If I do it the other way, just I can notice it, and it'll be in my head for the entire, it's so stupid. But even pro goalies, like Marc-Andre Fleury had to see a psychologist to help him break all of the superstitions that he had, because it got to the point where he had too many superstitions, and it was messing with him.
Oh, wow.
So he had to go to a psychologist. I think it was when he first started with Vegas, and he's had a great run since being there. But I think he attributes it to the fact that he was able to strip most of those superstitions.
Yeah, because you've said it before, man. You know, if a goalie gets in his own head, next thing you know, he is the he's like, he's a Carolina goalie at that point, letting in all the goals.
Letting in all the goals.
Yeah, letting in all the goals.
But it's like a kicker in football.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, once you get in your own head, it just, you could be the greatest kicker, but you have a couple bad kicks and you just go downhill and everything kind of falls apart.
Yeah, man. That's, yeah, superstition's a tough thing. I like the idea, though. I went to see a guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This one's funny, and he says, ready for some TMI? Not only do I get naked to drop a deuce, but I always have to shower afterwards. My wife always poop shames me.
You gotta shower every time?
What?
That's a lot of showering.
And I'm wondering, is it like a full shower he feels like he needs to do, or is it just like a rinse off?
Yeah, buy a bidet, dude.
Yeah, a bidet would take care of it.
Not everyone can afford a bidet.
I mean, they're like $30-$40 on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get just a little attachment that just goes right on your turlet.
Yeah, I saw it.
I want a half-ass bidet.
Hey, I see what you're saying. You want the whole-ass one. I see what you're saying.
I want the Cadillac of bidets.
Yeah, well, I saw it at Costco, and I almost bought one.
Really?
That Costco, man, you can't walk through there. I walk every aisle when it's just me, and you can't do it, because I start filling up the cart with all these things. I'm going, do I really need this?
You don't, but you're like, but when am I going to see this again?
Exactly.
It's like Bath & Beyond. I do that all the time.
Oh, yeah. So, you can get a bidet or whatever, turn your bathtub so you turn something into a bidet. Maybe not your bathtub, probably, but something.
I'm with that guy though. I like getting all my clothes off.
Really? I don't understand that, and I understand wanting to be clean. That's why I get those toilet wipes.
Yeah,
I get the adult wipes, not the baby wipes. The adult wipes.
No, you don't want the scented ones.
Well, I don't. Yeah, because I do want to be clean, and I always thought it was weird that we just use paper, and it's like, you know, paper itself just doesn't do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you really think about it.
I get you on that one.
Yeah, so that's why I have, and Sarah gives me a hard time. You have these toilet wipes right out where everybody can see them. It's like, well, I think everybody should use them. Why wouldn't they?
Why are you bothered by that?
I just think it's unnecessary and it's weird. Like, if I go to someone's house, I just expect to use toilet paper. Like, I don't expect wet wipes to be there for me.
It's a nice surprise.
But it's
like
a nice option to offer somebody.
I love him.
It's like when you go to someone's house and they have poo-pourri for you.
Yeah.
I still never use it.
You don't have to. No one's telling you. It's not like if you can't use your bathroom. Yeah, but you better use those wet wipes.
Because I can tell if you don't.
See, Sarah doesn't eat, so she's never had a situation where she's like, man, I really want to be able to clean myself after this particular nightmare.
No, and like, Steve, do you get like totally naked when you're at someone's house or like when you're here at work?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
I was like, that's a lot of effort.
No, that's way too much effort. But I mean, I will time if I'm going to the gym and I know I got to go, I will wait until like, you know, right before I go take a shower. So I just have the towel.
Oh, that's a lie, Steve. How many times have I walked you in the company bathroom and you're naked? It's just disturbing.
That's just on Thursdays when I get naked just for the rest of the day in the
Thursdays.
Office.
Oh, yeah. Naked Thursdays. Yeah. I'm not coming to work tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, it's Thursday.
It's just in the office, me and the men's room guys, we all get naked.
Wow.
It's good bonding, right?
Yeah. Listen to some Nickelback. It's pretty cool, man.
Look at that. Never mind.
No.
206-421-ROCK or 421-ROCK. Let's go to David in Seattle. David, you are on the Rock.
Hello. Morning.
Hey. Morning, David.
Hey, opposite of the text you just wrote, I sleep naked, but if I wake up middle of the night to drop a deuce, I have to put sweatpants on, so when I walk in, I have something to pull down.
I love that.
I want to make fun of you, but that makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, right?
And
that is.
Don't know why. It just feels weird sitting on the throne, buck naked.
Wow, that is very bizarre. I will give you that one, sir. I will give you how bizarre that is.
That's the greatest call ever.
Yeah, that really is. I appreciate that, David. That could win. I think he's the winner.
Oh, we got someone says, I don't peel my string cheese. I eat it one bite at a
Monster.
Time.
That's me.
That's
me.
DJ right there.
I was wondering when you guys would give me a hard time for that. It's the only way to eat string cheese. It's quick. It's not messy.
Somebody eats apple with a spoon.
An apple with a spoon?
That sounds difficult.
Like using the spoon as like a knife to slice into it, maybe?
Okay.
Like,
that's just grab the apple and just eat it like a caveman.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, that's what's great about an apple. It's got its perfect eating system right there. You only need a hand and a mouth.
I know, like, eating a banana with a spoon, but that's for babies and kids. Mm. Like, you scrape the banana and just get it all nice and soft.
Really?
Yeah. Ugh. And you can give them the mush.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're doing the baby thing now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's still not what the human beings should do, like an adult should do.
So I think the one that my wife always gives me a hard time is just how very particular I am about when I eat. I have to make sure that none of the food, like we have barbecue and I have like a burger, I have a corn on the cob, and then like some vegetables. I can't let them all connect. Like I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like my, like if I have like a corn and then mashed potatoes, I do not want my corn touching my mashed potatoes.
But do you eat that's it? Weird. Like eat every individual thing all at once, or do you take a bite of one thing, then the next thing, then the next thing?
I take a bite of each one and I assess which one I like the most.
Oh.
And I start with the one I like the least.
Yeah.
And work to my way till the last thing I eat is the thing I like the most.
That is such a kid system.
That is so particular.
Does it stress you out when you see other people mush everything together? Or
no,
does
I think
it not
you're all weird
you?
When you do it, but it doesn't bother me.
Right.
And honestly, if the corn touches the potatoes, I'm still going to eat it, but I would just prefer that they don't touch.
Because I'm the opposite of you. Like, if I'm eating, like, meatloaf with mashed potatoes and corn, that stuff's getting mushed together in a bowl. And it is the most delicious thing.
Yeah. Why don't you just put it in a blender?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
What?
Because I don't want a smoothie.
Meatloaf smoothie. Yeah, we don't need meatloaf. But I have seen Vicky's plates and whatever she brings in, and it does look like a disaster. I never know what the hell she's eating.
Good.
I'm like, I have no idea what that is. I mean, I don't mush it all together, but I don't mind, like, putting parts of it together, but still leaving everybody in their own camp, and then bringing a few members out to get together, have a little mingle, you know.
Yeah, that's the best part of a buffet, is literally just putting everything on your plate and seeing how much you can get. It doesn't matter if it's touching or not.
Well, I'll do that, but I just, when I get a little bit lower, I can make a little room, I'll start, like, separating them.
I need to be watching for this. Let's go to a buffet.
It's very OCD.
I did post this item that, I don't know if it was a Kickstarter item or Indiegogo, but somebody made a plate separator. I posted it and thought, does anybody need this? Steve, there's a lot of people like you.
I had a handful of people tag me on that Facebook page. Someone posted it on Facebook and it was spreading, and everybody was tagging me because they know about my weirdness.
Yeah.
So, including my wife.
Yeah. Jay Rubs is the same way as you, Steve.
That's why I love those plates. Those plates that have the dividers.
Yeah.
The toddler plates.
He stresses out when I mix my food. He can't even watch me do it. It freaks him out so much. He's like, no, that's your food. I like my food separated.
Yeah. There you go.
Someone says, I eat the same way. One dish at a time. Worst to best.
I really think that's a kid way, because if you
absolutely
knew you had to eat the crap, you couldn't get out of it, and you're like, all right, well, I'm just going to power through and
vegetables first.
Yeah.
And work my way to the meat.
So kid way.
It is.
Says, I eat the same way, Steve. I don't want my food touching my other foods. It's good to know that I'm not alone.
Oh, that's so funny. It's funny that you're still eating food that you that you don't like, you know?
Well, I mean, I like it. I just like it the least.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? It's not like I dislike it, but if I'm going to, like, okay, like, vegetables, then the corn, and then the burger.
Mm. Yeah, so good.
That is fair.
Yeah. Thank you.
No judgment from me. I'm not shaming you.
That is fair, Steve. You have been ruled as fair.
I see your daughter's in the room.
Oh, great. That's lovely.
Don't shame me for this. But I love ketchup sandwiches.
Like, just bread and ketchup?
White Wonder bread and ketchup.
Really?
That's all you need.
Are you a terrorist?
Yeah, well, because back in the day, like, I'm a vegetarian still and was, and everyone would have hot dogs, but they would never have tofu dogs for me. So I just had the bun and ketchup.
I think you get that from your grandfather.
And I love it. And I still love it to this day.
Because,
just try it. Everyone, just try it.
I'm willing to try it.
Oh, no.
I'm good.
I did try it.
What's the worst that's going to happen?
It's not going to taste good.
Bread is delicious, and ketchup is tasty.
Exactly.
No. Do you toast it?
I mean, you can. I mean, I like it both ways. I've done it both.
Ketchup is really too powerful to be by itself.
Why you got the Wonder Bread with it.
Wonder Bread is fairly, like,
people dip their grilled cheese in the ketchup,
but there's cheese there.
Yeah, the cheese is cheese.
Try it without the cheese.
No, because that's what happens, like, when you eat a hot dog and you run out of hot dog. It's just the bun and the ketchup. You always throw that part away.
No! It's disappointment.
You always eat that part.
Nope. Wow. Throwaway food.
No, I put another hot dog in that little piece.
It's like an inch of bread.
I put a hot dog in that little piece.
Damn thing.
My father-in-law used to have chocolate sandwiches. He would get frosting and put it on the bread with the Wonder Bread.
That makes more sense. That's almost like a Nutella sandwich.
Chocolate
and bread. Ketchup.
Do you ever try that to me?
Anything else, like barbecue sauce and bread?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, mustard and bread.
You know, mustard and we have a love-hate relationship. I like the sweet mustard.
Yeah.
And if you put relish in it, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, just get a hot dog bun and put all the condiments in.
Relish and cottage cheese.
Oh, it's so good and sweet pickle juice.
Yeah, you could get that. Yeah. I don't know if I get that.
You sound like you eat like a college student.
Yeah, oh, she does.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do still eat Top Ramen, too.
Yeah. Someone says, my father likes to eat gravy sandwiches. Bread slathered. Some gravy, piece of bread, more gravy than gravy all on top of it.
That'd be
that's
good.
Like biscuits and gravy.
That's exactly what
that
is.
I was going to say, that's just like a vessel for gravy.
So I'm with Sarah. I do hot dogs with mayo.
I think that the problem with, like, gravy sandwiches and ketchup sandwiches is that with biscuits and grilled cheese, there's a toast, there's a consistency, there's something about that softness that doesn't work with me. But a harder bread, like a biscuit, like a toasted sandwich, I think I could tolerate it a little better.
I'll toast the Wonder Bread for you.
Thanks, honey.
Put some ketchup on it.
All right, I got some free financial advice for you. You know who it's coming from, don't you?
Todd,
that's right, Todd. You want to know what's going on with your money? Call 206-421-ROCK. Text us at 77999. Todd Peach from BECU will take your calls and texts at 747 on The Rock.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. How much does bankruptcy cost?
Usually with my office, we do a flat fee that includes all your court costs, filing fees, credit counseling, credit reports, and one cost. In Chapter 13 cases, that usually starts at about $900. With Chapter 7 cases, the total cost, including all your court costs, attorney fees, is usually about $1,500. We offer payment plans on Chapter 7, so you can start a file with my office for as little as $200. You can send your creditor calls to us. We'll take your creditor calls while you gather up your information and make payments on the rest of the fees. With Chapter 13 cases, we can make payment arrangements in most cases as well and get your case filed even sooner in a Chapter 13 case because of the reorganization aspect to it.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.